It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons. We have Tom Crisafulli behind the glass still as well. But now we are joined by the one and only Megan Ottolini.
Hey, what's up?
Megan, how are you?
What's going on?
Not much.
Love hearing from Mike Giardi. Full disclosure, I was throwing axes with Mike Giardi last night.
What?
Yeah. There was an axe throwing outing that I took part in, and my right shoulder is like barking because I don't do any upper body weight training at all. You'd be shocked to learn if you saw me in person or on air in any of my various capacities. I know, because I look like Tyquan Thornton out there. But yeah, the axe throwing was it was a little bit more physical than I expected. Have you ever done it?
No, I've
There's
heard of it, obviously.
There's a Patriot Place. Yeah. So I went with some friends, and Mike Giardi was among them. And I love Giardi's insight. So when I hear that clip there with the WEEI afternoon show, and he says he thinks they're going to blow out the coaching staff, I think I take that as like that is a very, very real consideration. And I think a lot of people, like, it's kind of like, whether you're a media person or a fan, I think people are really on like kind of totally opposite ends of the spectrum, where we talked to Mark Daniels, Fitzy and I, on the night show a couple nights ago, and he said that he wouldn't be surprised if they almost completely run it back. Like if they almost completely run back the entire coaching staff, and then you hear there from Mike Giardi who says like the blowing the whole thing out is totally in play. And at this point, I think it's just really waiting to see how the crafts are going to react to the final month of the season, which overall has been pretty ghastly.
And I think the key question is, what mistake do the crafts think they made? Because they made a mistake here, but do they think we made a mistake hiring Mayo on these guys, or do they think we made a mistake not supporting them enough? And I think
it should be all.
Yeah, true. That's fair. But I think which do they think is the bigger problem? Because if they think, hey, we just need to support this guy more, he'll be back. But if they look around and they say, Look at what Brian Flores is doing with that Vikings defense. Look at Mike Vrabel's out there. Look at what Jim Harbaugh's done in L.A. Look at all these examples of guys they could have interviewed. Even Raheem Morris. I know they had the bad clock management the other night, but they're on the edge of the playoffs. They're right there. All these guys they could have interviewed, could have talked to, didn't. Do they look at it as, oh, we made the mistake not talking to these guys, not hiring one of them, or we made the mistake not supporting the guys we brought in more? I think that's... that answer is going to determine whether or not Mayo keeps his job.
So this is where the latest reporting that I saw from John Jones of CBS, NFL insider, who has terrific information, especially over the last 2 years pertaining to the Patriots. He's really on the ball. And he put out this article that is preemptive coaching carousel, what he thinks is going to happen as Black Monday looms after this weekend. And this is what he had about the Patriots. I'm just going to give you the top points because he gets a little more in-depth, but a lot of it is context that I think fans know already. He says team owner Robert Kraft has not wanted to make a move on head coach Jerod Mayo, the hand-picked successor to Bill Belichick. Kraft has boasted he tabbed Mayo as the guy a half decade ago, so to abandon the plan after one season with a bottom three roster in the league would be quite an admission by the proud Kraft. As the Pats compete for the top pick in April's draft, the belief has been he will be able to coach that team in 2025. But a 33-point embarrassment at home during the holidays and more public gaffes have not helped Mayo's weakening case. Now, he goes on to describe, for example, just last weekend before Saturday's game, saying Ramondre Stevenson's going to be
benched. Starting, not starting
and
thing,
then there's the seeming confusion on the sideline. Ramondre Stevenson gets the first handoff, among other things. And he has this. He says, quote, maybe Bill was right about the media, mused one source this season, referring to the former head coach's approach to dealing with the media. Should he be retained, Mayo is expected to add more veteran coaches to his staff, according to a source. And speaking of the former coach, Bill Belichick, there's expected to be some attrition from New England to Chapel Hill when Belichick potentially pulling from the coaching staff as well as from the training, strength, and personnel staffs. So great! Goes from bad to worse. I hear that. First of all, the point about Bill's dealing with the media bothers me. Like, bothers me a lot because it's not our fault that Jerod Mayo says the wrong thing. That's not our fault. Yeah. Like, a lot of the questions that are asked are pretty straightforward questions. They're not gotcha questions. The question that was asked that we're going to get into of Jelani Tavai yesterday, feels like now it was like 72 hours ago, but yesterday on the Greg Hill Morning Show, it's not a gotcha question. It's how do you feel about fans booing?
Do you think you're going to win more games than a year ago? It's like, a pretty straightforward question, which you cannot answer too if you want to. And the whole burn some cash, and I know you could say that was a rookie mistake. Fine. Or how about in training camp when Mayo's saying Drake May's the better quarterback, but Van Pelt saying, oh, he's not starting because of Jacoby. Not because of our plan, but because of Jacoby. So I think the point on was Bill right about the media. I think in a lot of us have said this, there can be kind of a middle ground where you can be a little more open than Bill, but not continually walk back everything on the Greg Hill Show every Monday morning like Jerod Mayo has. Like, and I know part of it's a learning process. And Mayo, if they were good, no one would really care that much. Like, we might talk about it. It'd be a little side thing. But if the Stevenson-Gibson thing happened in a game they won, sure, we'd mention it and we'd say that's not good, that's a problem. But it's magnified because they look worse and worse every week.
The thing is, and part of it you can say, is the media in New England different than the media in New Orleans, than the media in Jacksonville? Yes, but it's a bigger market. And when the media is the megaphone, and so when you put somebody behind a megaphone and their message is not great, that megaphone is going to blast it out to everyone. But you don't get mad at the megaphone. You get frustrated with the person who has the message that's not straight. And I'm not saying this like just because I'm defensive, because I am of the media, but I think it is the wrong perspective to take on what's going on with this season. And, you know, I don't know who that source is, but one source, like maybe it's from another team, maybe it's somebody from the outside, an executive somewhere else who's like, wow, and that media is going to really crush whatever coach gets in there. And maybe Vrabel is the only guy who's like, a tough enough SOB to deal with them. But I just think that that comes with the territory. There's more money here. It's a bigger spotlight here. Like, I can't imagine. I'm not super familiar with, but I can't imagine that the local media down in Dallas is the nicest to deal with either.
Jerry Jones threatened to fire some of those guys earlier this year. Yeah,
they've been calling for McCarthy's head for how many years now?
Yeah, and that's why, like, I never used to get that upset at how testy Bill would be with the media, or how he would never, like, it would be annoying sometimes, but on the whole, I was like, okay, he doesn't want to say anything. I get it. And they won every week, so okay, you accept it. Then they start losing, and people get more and more frustrated, and then Mayo comes in, and look, does Gerard Mayo make you and I, our job easier? Yes, because he says so much more and there's more going on. But that comes at the expense of, you look at that operation and you say, is that in line? Is that an operation from top down? They're on the same page. They have it together. And the answer to me, when I look at that operation, the answer is, I mean, go back to Matthew Judon having a temper tantrum on the field in front of everyone in training camp, not just media, but fans too. Take that all the way to Gibson. Oh, he's starting, but not starting. Like, does that feel like an operation that from top down you're like, oh yeah, they have it. Like, everyone wants to compare them to the Detroit Lions or everyone in that building.
Please stop doing that.
I agree with you. I mean, you don't have a 22-year-old Amon-Ra St. Brown and DeAndre Swift on the roster, by the way.
You also don't have three wins in the final 6 weeks.
Right, but even if Dan Campbell says weird stuff sometimes, okay? But when you look at the Detroit Lions, you know from top down, they are on the same page and they are doing things in the same direction. You know it week in and week out. Whereas here, you don't get that. Like, so Buffalo, you're competitive against a team that could win the Super Bowl. Then you have three major mistakes in the second half and you lose, and you follow it up by being non-competitive against the same team that a year ago you lost 6-0 to. A year later, you're non-competitive.
Yeah, I think the this is just, to me, another account. And again, I don't know who this source is that John Jones has, but I trust that he has really good sources. If it's pointing at the media, and yesterday it was a player that we'll get to, Jelani Tavai, kind of pointing at fans, what are we doing here? That's where the culture that you had thought that maybe somebody like Gerard Mayo would be able to instill, like, that is so, I know we overuse this term, that is so toxic to me.
Well, look at the difference in the Jeremy Springer answer to the Jelani Tavai answer.
Jeremy Springer was fantastic.
Yeah, but just look at the difference. And is that people on the same page pulling in the same direction? But yeah, we're going to get to that and much more coming up. But first, it's time to trend with Tom.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5. With Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Chris Ofoli. Back here on WEEI. I'm John Lyons alongside Megan Ottolini. We're talking Gerard Mayo. We're talking Jelani Tavai and his comments on the Greg Hill Show yesterday. We are going to get to your calls coming up. 617-779-7937. If you've got thoughts on Gerard Mayo, how the Patriots should handle tomorrow, the roster, whatever. By the way, Mego, that intro, first time in a while I've been called an all-star.
I know. You know what? There is a text chain about that. I didn't realize that was going to be the imaging.
Yes.
But, okay, thank you.
Yes. So we are all-stars. I mean, you are like a D1 athlete, right? So at least you've probably been called an all-star. The last time I was called an all-star, I think, was Little League. So it's been a little while.
The thing about going into D1 athletics is you very quickly become a medium-sized fish in a very big pond. You go from being a big fish in a small pond to a medium-sized fish in like a lake, a great lake.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
It's a humbling experience for some of us.
That's true. So, well, I guess we are all-stars. Tom, you can be an all-star too. Jelani Tavai, Mego. He goes on the Greg Hill Show yesterday. And look, I understand the frustration. I understand if you're out there doing your job as a player and people just are yelling, you suck, like how that can be frustrating. I get it. Where I think he screwed up is when you go to the point where you're like, know your place, you can't do our jobs. It's like, dude, like we're talking about a guy that got here in 2021, made the playoffs once with the Patriots. If David Andrews said this or Jonathan Jones said something like this, I'd still think it was over the line, but at least I'd be like, okay, those dudes have won Super Bowls here.
Okay, but you know what?
But
I asked John Jones almost the same exact question on Wednesday in the locker room, and he said, of course they're booing us. I completely expect it. The fans are used to winning in a good way. Like, they expect it, and so I expect that reaction, and it's the right one. I'm paraphrasing there. He might have not have gone that far, but it was like, I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, and my thing on it is, look, if a fan goes there, and you know, you've been to a million games, and they say something that's over the line or personal or really derogatory, fine. That's not cool, right? Have we been spoiled over the last 25 years? Yeah. There's been, what, 10, 12 championships, whatever. It's been awesome. But can you really sit there and be mad that you're getting booed when your team in the last 2 years combined has won 7 games?
Like, and two home games in the last 2 years?
Can you really be that upset about it? Like, 7 wins in 2 years, 2 home wins in 2 years. Like, it just, it's so, to me, removed from reality. Like, again, if he came on here and he was like, oh, people said stuff that was about my family and derogatory, okay, fine. But you're just mad that they're booing? Like, yeah. Like,
A couple points with the Tavai appearance, because I haven't talked about it yet. I haven't gotten the opportunity to. It was just,
here it is. Have the floor,
Mego. It was just yesterday
Mego.
Morning. I know, like, a lot of people want to, I'll say this. Tavai has a level of character that I think this is a big surprise. Like, that he came out and said something that garnered this much negative attention.
He got an extension from the team, right?
Under Bill? Yeah. Like, and so I think that's tough. But on the other hand, so many, again, don't get mad at the megaphone when there are so many mistakes in one appearance on the Greg Hill Show from his perspective. First of all, he offers up that he had an altercation with a fan in the game. Was anybody aware of that before he just...
I was not.
He just
and by the way, you want to talk about a dumb thing to do? Like, just that in itself.
That it's not like we saw that on camera and he had to own to it. That's a
that's a great point. I had no idea.
That's a strange thing to admit to in the first place. Say like, hey, guess what? I got into it with one of the fans at the game because I didn't like what they were saying. Ha ha. Anyway, fans don't know what they're talking about. Like that. That's your first mistake. The second mistake is don't say the quiet part out loud. That's why your fans, first of all, don't use fan like it's some kind of thing that you want to denigrate people about. Again, those are the people who are hopefully buying tickets in the future. Who knows with how the product looks? But also, don't make it sound like it's a bunch of losers who are sitting in the stands who you think are pathetic because they're cheering for you or booing you. Like, that's not what it's about. And then he tried to kind of double down on it yesterday with the press who were down there in the locker room and talked to him at his locker. And I'll say this, like, give Jelani props for talking to the press yesterday. He didn't have to, but he did. But he says, like, okay, if you're going to be a fan. Don't be a critic. Don't be a critic. Like, you just want people to dumbly sit there and, like, clap like they're trained.
And they can still be there supporting you but also be frustrated by a team that's won 7 games in 2 years. Like, both of those things can be true. I'm a Patriots fan. If I go to a game, I'm going to support them. But if they make a bunch of mistakes, they turn the ball over 3.5 times, I'm going to be upset because I want them to win.
To the way that I took it was that Jelani Tavai made it sound like he doesn't think that fans are good enough to hold the team accountable. Like, the fans, he doesn't respect the fans enough to hold the team accountable.
And
that's not okay. Like, that is not a good perspective to put out there when the fan base is at their wit's end with what they've endured over the last at least 2 seasons.
And is there a segment of fans that really have no idea how hard it is to win and they don't get it and they go overboard? Yes. But to paint all fans with this broad brush of like, oh, they can't be a critic of us? Like, why? Like, again, the last time the Patriots had a season this bad, Mego, Jelani Tavai wasn't even alive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking the early 90s, and then you're going to sit there and say, well, they have to know their place. They can't be a critic. Like, why?
Yeah,
like,
it just came off very disrespectful.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's who Tavai is. Like, I think that's why it's like such a tension point. It's very surprising. But at the same time, it's like that to me. It reminded me also of, I think it was 2 seasons back on the Red Sox when I think it was Jaron Duran who said, you know, if you're not with us now, don't be with us when we're winning. And to me, like, Jaron Duran has had a lot of his own stuff. So you have to, I'm trying to be fair and allow for who knows what's ever going on. These players are people too. Who knows what's going on in their life? But that was terrible. Yeah. That was a terrible appearance.
And he could have even left it at like, oh, I don't like it when they boo, like they couldn't do Mayo's job. And if he had even left it there,
which is fine,
we still may have been a little bit like, hey, man, but he went on and on.
What did you think of Mayo in that clip that we just played saying that's really born out of his guys trying to defend him, trying to have his back?
Yeah, and it is. I think it is to an extent, but again, we talked about it last segment. Another little piece of evidence is everyone in this operation going in the same direction. Because you mentioned the Jonathan Jones quote. I mentioned the Jeremy Springer quote. Totally different than the Tavai quote, which is also different than the Keon White quote. And not that they have to be robots like they were under Bill and say exactly the same thing, but are they going in they're not going in the same direction. Like, to me, that is, I think, one of the most concerned. It's not just that Tavai was disrespectful to fans, which is not cool, and it's a crappy thing to say. Come on, dude. But the larger evidence of these guys have won 3 games and they're not all going in the same direction. Like, that's the bigger problem here. Because you look to 2025 and beyond, well, he can be mad at fans, but if they win 10 games next year, no one cares. It's they're not all going in the same direction and they're not on the same page.
Do you think that this kind of thing gets the Kraft's attention in any way?
Yeah, I think it
does. You do?
I think the Kraft's, especially Robert, care a lot about public perception. I mean, look at the ESPN article earlier this year about his campaign to get in the Hall of Fame.
Well, yes, you know, but that's more about him than any one single team in a season.
And that's fair. But I think at least Robert, they care about public perception. And they have, because they've always wanted to be the top franchise. Even remember when they had Brady and Garoppolo, and Kraft said it's a first-class problem and they're a first-class organization. Like they, and remember that ownership survey where they got D's and F's and everything. Hurts the perception. Free agents don't want to come here last offseason. Hurts the perception. Now you have the walk back Monday from Mayo almost every Monday, the Tavai thing. I think they sit there, and I'm not saying it's a fireable offense, but I think they look at it and they say, man, we didn't have to deal with this in the past. Like, ooh, this isn't great. Like, and maybe they look around and they say, is Brian Daboll is coaching a bad team? Is he making these mistakes too? You know, and I wonder if they look around and they kind of, that's in their mind too.
I just think that it's a little bit more, again, indicative of the culture down there rather than it's a bad product on the field. You can look at the roster and say, that's not a roster that you should give to a rookie head coach, or that can't support a rookie quarterback who appears to be really good and has a really bright future and says all the right things and carries himself the right way. You can say all of that, but at the end of the day, the culture stuff really goes directly back to the head coach. And if we were looking from afar and this is what was happening in Jacksonville or with the New York Jets, we'd say that what a loser team that is.
Oh, we would like, make fun of this. We did for years.
We'd be like, geez, what a dumpster fire over there. And so I think, again, maybe it's not fair if the media and the fans want to hold the team accountable. The team feels like they're just playing for each other and their coaches right now, and they don't like all this outside noise. But I think it's equal opportunity. I think this is how we would talk about any other franchise. It's not just the standards here are so high because of the 20 years of absolute dominance.
And if you don't want to believe Mego and John, how about Bill Belichick and Chris Long on Inside the NFL criticizing the Patriots time after time? Or Mike Lombardi, who I know
they've got an axe to grind. No, not Chris Long, but
yeah, sure.
Bill has an axe to
grind. Bill definitely
has an axe.
But you look at it and you're like, is anything he's saying really wrong? Like, they can't stop the run.
Yeah, show me
the
lie.
Like, they can't stop the run. They can't do this. Like, they can't do that. So, that, I don't know. It's, I think and even Elliot Wolf, we're going to have less of a hard-ass culture here. So, you mentioned the head coach. I put the GM in that, too. It's kind of speaks to things maybe, again, not all in the same direction.
It does make me wonder, though, because there is this thread through the whole season of different position groups kind of going off publicly, whether it's to reporters in the locker room from the wide receivers, or now some of the defensive players, Dietrich Wise as well, saying the fans are spoiled. And a great interview that he had with Jones and Keith in middays yesterday. I encourage you to go seek it out on the Odyssey app if you didn't listen to it, because they did a fantastic job with, again, Dietrich, somebody who I really like talking to down there. But it's not just about saying, quite frankly, boneheaded stuff to the media. I do think it's indicative of some kind of, as you said, guys not rowing in the same direction, or guys pointing fingers at different things and saying, well, it's not necessarily my fault. Guys down there are at the point where they're saying, we need a more talented roster. That is bizarre to me.
Jonathan Jones said that to me and Andy on Monday. We need to get good players in the, and that's a dude that's won two Super Bowls here.
Right.
Said, and he said it in the nicest way possible, but
it's like,
we need to get good players in the building.
It's kind of like saying, why am I surrounded by a bunch of bums? That's the problem. And maybe, again, John Jones, somebody who's won Super Bowls, so he has the authority to say that. Right, and I like John Jones a lot. Maybe it's his way of saying, I stand with Mayo, and I think our coaching staff is being unfairly scapegoated, but it comes off the wrong way.
Yeah, and even there was the Elliot Wolf quotes, I think it was from today, where he was like, I expected Jalen Polk to be a plug-and-play player.
Oh, yeah, we should get to that.
Which,
next.
Yeah, we are going to get to that. We do see some of you on the phone lines here. Let's actually take a couple calls before we go to break. Let's start with Will in the truck, wants to talk Jerod Mayo. Will, thanks for hanging on. Welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's great to be able to talk to All Stars. I appreciate it. I do agree with what you're talking about from an operational standpoint. I think what we've seen in the last 12 to 18 months is, you know, there's been a promotion from within. There's been people elevated into positions. There was a lot of speculation on whether they're qualified, having never done it before. And then, you know, you get...
Well, we're going to have to let you go. Your phone sounds a little off. But his point was that we've seen, and I think it's a good point, a lot of these promotions inside the building, they've been sending us a message, Mego, and I think it's ownership on down, and they've been sending it since January, that they think everything bad last year was because of Mac Jones and Bill Belichick.
Oh, immediately that was the message they were trying to show.
It's not just that they promoted Mayo, that Mayo offered all the other coaches to stick around. They kept Mac Groh. They promoted Elliott Wolf. There was those reports in the MMQB that they wanted to empower a, quote, frustrated scouting staff. Like, and again, I'm not saying it's not true or not, but there was a concerted effort. You want to even throw in the Dynasty documentary in the last few episodes of that. There was a concerted effort to say, hey, the big bad man is gone. The terrible quarterback is gone. It'll be better now. And if they had been better, people could have bought it. But now we're sitting here and they're a worse football team than they were, despite having better quarterback play, a worse football team than a year ago.
And the better quarterback play is either or a combination of just Drake May or Drake May and AVP. And if it's just Drake May, then you got very lucky getting that guy number three, and it's not about coaching. If it is about coaching, then it's about AVP, and by all appearances, it looks like that's the coach that you're going to move on from.
And he's the one guy that you brought in from outside, right?
Right?
Like, you talk about all these other coaches.
That's a great point.
That had been here before, or that knew Wolf, like knew Mayo. AVP knew Wolf, but you look at all the coaches on this staff, almost all of them had some connection previously to the organization, except for, I think, AVP and Springer, and everyone else did. And Springer, the special teams, I think, has been better than a year ago. Not great, but better than a year ago. He's probably the most mature guy behind the mic. And yes. AVP, I think, of every assistant coach, has done the best job. And not to say that there aren't criticisms there, but he's done the most important thing, which is develop a quarterback. Your offense has actually been better than a year ago. I think you can kind of see some things building over the course of the year, yet he's going to be the fall guy potentially. Like, it's just, yeah. And he's the one guy from outside, or him and Springer.
Yeah.
So it's something. Let's go to Rick in Maine before we head to break here. Wants to talk to Gerard Mayo. Rick, welcome into the program.
Thank you. I feel bad for Gerard Mayo. Like, he's getting a raw deal. He says, burn some cash. They don't. He says, I would like to see a sneak by Drake May at the goal line. They don't do it. Gets in trouble for that. And then this last thing with Stevenson, it's terrible. They give him no control. We don't know if he's a good coach or not, because he really hasn't been able to. And that's pretty much all I got to say. I just feel bad for the guy. I just don't know how he is.
Rick, thanks for the call. And look, I think in fairness, if this was a good roster and they were bad, we would know for sure it's Mayo and the coaches. But I think the biggest reason this is a bad football team is from 2017 to 2022, they drafted almost no impact players.
Oh, certainly.
And I think that's the biggest reason. And I think it's a combination. But you and I can sit here and we can look at week three against the Jets when they had a weird game plan and they took forever to adjust and they got dominated. And that's going back. How they mishandled the first halves against Seattle, against Miami, the blowout miscommunications in San Francisco. Like, we can go, Jacksonville runs it, what, 18 straight times? And you can't stop them. And then the Colts do almost the same thing a few weeks later to win a game. Like, that's where I think you can look at the coaching staff and you can say, okay, the roster is one of the worst in the league, but the guys here, it doesn't feel like they're getting better.
Oh, absolutely not. And also, if you believe the reporting that was out there that it's going to come down to, I believe it was Greg Bedard who said it's going to come down to like these last four games, and you see what the team has shown, you have to look at the Arizona game, coming off of a bye and being a complete no-show.
And Arizona, by the way, not that good.
No.
To be
and
clear.
And it's the same case with the Chargers. The Chargers, a well-coached team, I think it's pretty obvious to see. Somebody in Jim Harbaugh who came in, immediately established a program and immediately established culture, and looked like Buffalo should have looked the week before. And I don't know a lot of people who are hanging their hats on that Buffalo game and saying that's the reason that Gerard Mayo... I don't hear that. That's the reason that Gerard Mayo should keep his job.
If the Chargers game had been closer, maybe people would. But the fact that was sandwiched between two really bad no-show performances.
And so I ask you this. If you thought that Gerard Mayo was coming into the season and he was going to be the CEO-style head coach, where he's not an offensive mind guy and he's going to give over a lot of the defensive responsibilities in meetings and game planning to DeMarcus Covington, and then everything that you would think would be coming from a top high level in two out of those three games looks like a complete disaster, I think it's fair to be very critical of the job that's being done there. I don't think that's unfair. Is the situation he's in bad? Yes, he's in a really bad situation. Could he be doing a better job over this season? Yes. Like, I don't know.
Both things can be true.
Yeah, exactly. And it's probably, I don't know. It's probably because of being there a year early and them having the Crafts having to oust Bill Belichick a year early. And having so many guys come in who haven't worked together before, have promotions and are learning on the job and doing it for the first time. There's a bunch of different reasons. It doesn't mean that you can't improve in that area.
Or make the best of what spot you're in. Exactly. We're going to continue this discussion right after the break here on WE.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
EI. That was Patriots Executive Vice President of Player Personnel, a.k.a. GM, Elliot Wolf, talking before the season. And Mego, we play that because earlier today, he had some quotes out there talking about he thought the internal development would be better and that Jalen Polk would be a plug-and-play starter.
Yeah, this is exactly what it was. So Henry McKenna of Fox Sports, he got exclusives with both Alex Van Pelt and Elliot Wolf. And this is the quote that he got that I think has really jumped out to people. This is from Elliot Wolf. He says, "We're 3-13, which lets you know this is recent, so not good enough. Let's start there. We had a lot of needs. I would say that I guess personally what I was expecting, maybe a little bit more internal development, which is a good lesson certainly heading into next year, and that you can't always rely on that," Wolf said. "The rookie receivers didn't have it really that much for us. And, you know, Polk was sort of, in our estimation, a plug and play. Ultimately, to answer your question, our record speaks for itself. We didn't do enough." So that quote's going around Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, a lot today, John. And I think you can look at it two ways. Well, you can look at it many ways, but I look at it two ways. You can either see that as something to be optimistic about, because when Wolf is saying you can't really rely on just internal development, maybe he's saying we need to be really aggressive in free agency. We really need to be aggressive in playing, in bringing in high-end talent from the outside. And maybe we could have been more aggressive on that front at this time last year going into the offseason. But now we're really going to be on that. Everybody knows we have the cap space. Are we going to burn some cash? Perhaps we're actually finally going to burn some cash. I also think, in a negative way, because it is talk radio, the way that you can look at it is throwing the coaches under the bus.
And I think the
internal development
too.
Was not, well, certainly it's like Polk is not who we thought we were getting when we drafted him. He basically says that. But when you say the internal development, you can't rely on that year to year, and certainly not with the receivers. I mean, that has Tyler Hughes, receivers coach, written all over it to me, if not Alex Van Pelt in there too. And who knows if it goes all the way to the top with Jerron Mayo.
And I think it shows a lack of awareness by Wolf last offseason by what they had here. I mean, you look at it, what, 7 years or 6 years ago, the Patriots won Super Bowl 53. They had the best coaching staff in the NFL when they won that game. Now, you have a bunch of new coaches, rookie coaches in positions, which, hey, fine, whatever. But Wolf needs to look at that and say, well, it's not Dante Scarnecchia developing this O-lineman. It's not Ivan Fears developing this running back or Chad O'Shea developing this receiver. It's a bunch of guys that are in new positions. And, oh, by the way, the one position group that I actually think has developed some guys at corner, like Alex Austin, is coached by Mike Pellegrino, who's won multiple Super Bowls here.
And
is
Mike
a really good
go
coach.
To UNC.
And Mike go to UNC, exactly. So that's why I think from the Wolf perspective, yeah, their roster's bad. And he's not only responsible for that because the roster wasn't all built in one offseason. Mm-hmm. But some of that lands at his feet. And I think, again, it just shows a lack of awareness of, oh, I can draft a guy that's a developmental guy and he'll get the same level of development he would have gotten 5 or 6 years ago here. He wouldn't. So maybe you have to draft a guy who is more pro-ready. Or if you draft that same developmental guy, be aware that maybe it's 2025 he makes an impact and not 2024. It just, to me, it shows a little lack of awareness of what the situation was here when he stepped in.
Yeah, I read it as he's saying, I drafted the wrong guys at receiver, but also our development program with some of the young guys is not what I expected it to be. Yeah. Guys are not developing as fast as I thought that they would. And so I need to take a different look at that. I sat here last year telling everybody that we're going to do this, like, and I'm talking as Elliot Wolf, we're going to do this as Green Bay does it, which is draft good players, develop them, retain them, and build our program that way. Now, I don't know if I can do that here. Because as you said, even before this draft, you've got 5+ years of drafts where you weren't able to get the players internally that you wanted to have developed to this point. And that is a big piece of why you're here.
2018 to 2022, you used 5 first-round picks on offense. None of them are still playing except Cole Strange.
And Cole Strange only just returned
exactly.
to the field.
So
and
no
he's
impact
playing a
guys.
Different... I mean, look, maybe like, you drafted him thinking he'd be center at some point, but he's playing a different position
like
than
Sony
you drafted
Michel
him
Sony Michel had a nice rookie year, but that's literally in 5 years, that's what you've got. Sony Michel's nice rookie year.
Yeah.
5 years worth of first-round picks. And I will say, too, Macro, Elliot Wolf, they were part of that, too. Like, and I, again, Bill was most responsible for the good and the bad drafts in his 24 years. He was. But he wasn't alone in the scouting department in the front office. Matt Groh, in my opinion, had a big voice in that 2022 draft where all of a sudden they're drafting everyone based off relative athletic score. and differently than they had in the past right after he gets promoted.
You want to be fast? Yep, fast guys.
Exactly. You want to be good, get good players too. Maybe
all
draft
right.
George
Should Pickett. Should we turn to the good team?
Yeah, we do. We have to, yes. I know. We're going to take a quick break and then talk about the one team in Boston that is actually good, the Boston Celtics with Miss Celtics herself.
Oh, that's me.
Megan Ottolini. We'll be right back to talk some Celtics here on WEEI.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/trader plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandralina Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Head to dirtylabs.com and use code PODCAST to get 20% off your first order.